welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life. Lord, we open our hearts up wide. We respond to you. We continue to respond to you, Holy Spirit. Have your way in our hearts. I thank you that you have prepared the way to speak. And Lord, that this word wouldn't just be something we hear this morning, but it would become the fabric of our faith towards you. That you would just cause us to be part of us as we go away this morning, that we're changed and made more like you and made to know you more and to understand you better, who you are and who we are in you. In Jesus' name, we love you so much. Amen. So if I just start crying uncontrollably, excuse me. we'll join you. So I'm just going to read through Psalm 91, and then I'll go back. And this is the New King James Version. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thanks. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. We could pack it up right now. So let's just take a couple of these verses at the very beginning. These are establishing verses. The beginning of this passage in Psalms 1 and 2, they're establishing verses for the rest of the passage. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Let's just camp on Most High for a second. When we think of the Lord as Most High, higher, the highest, incomparable, anything else is not even close to his highness. not the feminine sense. Or do they call men highness too? Yes, your highness. Okay, I guess that's not, so anyway, forget that. It wasn't in my notes. I should have thought that one through a little. But he is the Most High. So that is acknowledging, first and foremost, who is top dog. Where the buck stops is with the Most High. Amen? So he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And secret place refers to, obviously, when we think of, I always have a picture in my head about the scripture. I mean, I picture a huge mountain with an opening that I can run into, right? For safety, for refuge. So secret place. It's a place where harm can't find me. It's a place where I'm protected and shielded. It's also a place of intimacy because we're not just running into a cold mountain. We're running into our Most High God, under His feathers, under the shadow of His wing. And that's where we find our safety and our rest. And it's a place of intimacy with Him that we seek shelter. So that's the establishing idea for the rest of Psalm 91. Then, verse 2, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. I will make a decision here that He is my refuge. He is my refuge. Mine, my precious. He is my place. This is where I go. I could go other places, but He is my refuge, right? And my fortress, and I will say, He is my God, and in Him I will trust. This is an establishing verse saying it's a positioning place. He is the Most High. He is greater. He is far above everything else in life, far above every circumstances, every circumstance, every person, every situation, every problem, every question. He's the Most High. And I make a decision. I will say of Him. I will say this. I will declare it with my mouth. There is nobody else that can watch over me, that can protect me, that will love me, that will shelter me like the Most High God. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. I don't know about anything else, but He's mine. And in Him I will trust. And then the next verse, surely, when we're established in the Most High, when we're established in our recognition that He is mine and He is my refuge, this is where I go, then I know surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler, for those who set traps for me, for the enemy who sets traps for me. He will deliver me from those things. He is my deliverer. And He will deliver me from the perilous pestilence. And He will cover me with His feathers. And under His wings, I will take refuge. This is where I go. This is who He is. This is who I am. And this is what He does. And it's where I go. He's my God, the Most High, higher than anything. And I love this part a lot. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. I am really grieved and tired of this thing of personal truth. I'm sorry. Gag face, green face. We do not get to choose what's true. There's no such thing as a personal truth. There's things at such as a personal conviction, right? I'm going to choose to not do these things because it's a temptation to me. Or that doesn't agree with me. I feel a no from the Lord. And that might not be the same for everybody else, right? We have an understanding about the difference between personal conviction and personal truth. No such thing. We have to reject that idea. Truth is not fluid. It doesn't care. I've written this on Facebook so many times, and I'm like, well, maybe I say this too much. But we just need to hear it over and over again because everything is fluid today in our culture, right? It is countercultural to believe that His truth is the only truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There ain't no other way that we can be saved. And that's not us sitting up on our high horse at all. It's us agreeing with the Most High God. This is how we take shelter in the Most High God, is by agreeing with His truth, with what He says is right and what is not right, with what is and with what isn't. We can't find our secret place in Him if we're not in Him, in His truth, and walking in the truth. It's in Him we live and move and have our being. We can't have it both ways. We can't take refuge and receive this protection from the Lord and this intimacy with Him when we're rejecting part of who He is and what He says. Amen? His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So when we say, God, I don't understand this truth, but because You said it, because it proceeded out of Your mouth, it's going to be my truth as well. And it takes humility to lay down our logic sometimes, because it doesn't always seem to make sense in the natural realm. But this is where faith meets real life, right? When we don't understand something, or when we don't see results immediately, we have to accept it by faith with what the Word says. And it isn't blind faith, because I know in whom I have believed, right? It's not just this impersonal mountain. He is our Father, and He has given us His Son, and He has imparted into us His Spirit. It's incredibly relational, incredibly intimate, and incredibly warm. He is our ever-present help in time of need. That is who He is. So when these things are in place, when we've established these things, that His truth is my truth, He's the Most High, He is my refuge, my fortress, my deliverer, then you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. We hear and see a lot of destruction, a lot of lawlessness, a lot of violence, and a lot of terror. We're witnessing this in our generation. Like, I mean, I don't remember this stuff when I was a kid happening on this level. But you know what? It doesn't matter what's happening, because 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Not because we're better than everybody else. It has nothing to do with it. It's because what? We've made the Most High our dwelling place. And I have made Him my refuge and my fortress. I have made my heart trust in Him. Of course, He gives us the ability to do all this, but we agree, we respond. But when we do choose it, there is a choice. We don't have to be afraid of the terror, of the arrows, of the pestilence, of the destruction, or what happens to anybody else. These are the things that we find in our secret place of the Most High. We find freedom from fear. We find true protection and deliverance. And only with our eyes will we see the reward of the wicked. In other words, we won't experience the reward of the wicked because we're hiding in Him. Our righteousness is found in Him. I love that song. My righteousness is found in You. And our confidence is Your faithfulness will bring us through. Because You have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, Your dwelling place, can we believe it? No evil will befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Can we believe that? All we have to reconcile here with this statement, because it's a big statement, it's a big promise. All we have to recognize here, reconcile here is, have I made the Lord my refuge, and the Most High my dwelling place? That's the only question we have to answer in light of all these promises. Because who is the mediator between God and man? Jesus, right? Not any person, not their circumstances, not what it looks like from the outside. You know, we can look at people's circumstance on the outside and say, well, it's not working for them. It didn't work for them. So that's not what we have to answer. We don't have to answer that. It's between us and God. That's between them and God. All I know is I'm putting my trust in the Most High God. Amen? Sometimes we have to step over that thing that seems like it's the big obstacle, and we can step over it. Because if we stand on that little obstacle as the Most High, then our faith is floundering, and none of God's promises look true. But I'm not going to base my circumstances or my place of refuge on other people's experiences, and I'm not judging them. Because however you want to look at it, there's a judgment going on. You're judging that above the Most High. Who's the Most High? Our God, in whom I have made my refuge and my fortress and my trust. He's my God. That's what I trust in. So we have to step over the rock of offense sometimes. That stops us up. Because the just shall live by faith. Amen? And we have been justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's faith that pleases God. And I love that the scripture I've been holding on to, and I've been praying and over different situations. Those who come to God must believe that He is, first of all. And then that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How do we make the Most High our refuge? How do we diligently seek Him? It's by receiving every word that comes out of the mouth of God, who's not a cold mountain. He's a warm, loving God. And He's a relationship. He is love. And in Him is no darkness at all. We never have to wonder, what's He up to this time? You know, like, does He have my best interest at heart, or am I going to have to do this one with and for Him? Am I going to have to be my refuge? Oh my gosh, if I were my refuge. I mean, we've all tried it. We have, and it's just the strength of our own hand. I won't move this mountain with the strength of my own hand. You're the mountain mover, and only You can. I'm going to put my trust in the One who can. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So when we hold on to every promise and every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that is how we make the Most High our dwelling place. And it's words on a page, but it's also spirit, the spirit of life within us that bears witness to the truth. So when I just say, okay, all I'm going to reconcile here is this, all these promises, no evil shall befall me. Well, it seems like evil's has fallen upon me. And it seems like there's been a plague or two that has come near my dwelling. I don't know about that, but I am going to where I do know. And I'm going to go to the Most High. Lord, You are the Most High, not this thing. Not this thing in my life that I cannot understand. No, You are. And I make You the Most High thing in my life. And if you have to say it a bazillion times, do it. Because it will break through the walls of doubt, suspicion, unbelief, confusion, hurt, trauma, whatever it may be that is seeming to be higher than God that moment. We're not going to find refuge in that place. We're going to find refuge in the Most High. So when I do that, then I can trust His word in verse 10 And 11, for he shall give, or I'm sorry, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands, in your hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. And the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. It does take some doing on our part, right? And it's the trust, it's the belief, it's the hiding, it's declaring, you're it, God. Where else in the world can I go? You are the source of all truth and help. You are my very present help in time of need. You will never leave me nor forsake me. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging for bread. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I would have despaired unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is how we make the Most High our dwelling place. God, I will not be moved when I'm in this place. Any other place is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. But in you, O Lord, do I put my trust, and I will not be shaken. So there's this thing, there was a season in time where we were leading worship, and there were these songs about the Lord being your portion. And I remember like singing it and not really sinking into it too deeply. It's like, yeah, it's scripture, it's my portion. And but then it was like suddenly something kind of just like, think about this for a second. What are you singing? What are you reading? And I love that His Eyes on the Sparrow song, you know, when Jesus is my portion. But there are so many scriptures. Let's see. My other page. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I was recently talking with one of our kids about this, and I said, you get a firsthand view of my sermon because I'm going to preach it to you right now. And but when we make Jesus our portion, it's like just picture sitting at a table, and Jesus is scooping out the different, you know, portions on your plate, and you're like, oh, I really want a little bit more of that cranberry, you know, Jesus. Or, you know, whatever it may be at the table, that seems like, is that all you're giving me here? You know, all you're giving me are some promises. All you're giving me is some instruction and obedience. It doesn't seem to be exactly fitting the exact need at the moment. He said, I am your portion. And if you will allow me to be your portion and not look for any other thing to fill, any other desire, you know, but what I need right now, Lord, is blah, 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 blah. I mean, you could fill in the blank. He's like, but what I'm going to give you is actually what you need. Can you be satisfied with what I'm giving you? And the thing I don't want to be confused about here in saying this is that when we ask God for bread, he does not give us a snake or a stone, right? He's a good father. He's not up to some crazy, weird, wacky spiritual mysticism. Ooh, we can't understand the ways of God. He's giving me a snake right now. No, it's not who he is. It's not his nature. He's not mysterious like that. Okay, his ways are mysterious in order for us to seek him more, right? Well, I want to look into that because when you seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Lord, you are the treasure. You are my portion forever. My heart and flesh may fail, but God, you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I will be content. And when we find ourselves contented and by choice saying, I will be content with this scripture to stand on, this truth to obey, I trust that you will do above and beyond all that I could ask or think of because you are good And I trust you, my warm, loving Father, who protects me, who gives me what I need. And there's another scripture in Psalms, I don't remember the reference. He reaches out his hand and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. He gives us the desire of our heart when we delight ourselves in him, the Most High. So basically, the long of the short of it here is that God asks us to trust him. He's calling us to trust in him. It is time. It is time to grow in this, to grow up in this. Scripture also says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I understood as a child, something else as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So childish things would be God on trial all the time. He has to prove himself to me all the time. I'm never going to take a step towards him. He's got to come to me. That's not what the word says. We can only come to God when he draws us, right? So when he draws us, he gives us an opportunity to respond and to come to him. We're to come to him. Jesus already came to us. And then he just overwhelms. We give him an inch, he'll take miles, which is wonderful. God, I give you my heart. He's like, I give you all of me. Everything. My blood, my resurrection, the inheritance of Christ. You get it all. He pours it out. And right now, he's calling us to trust in him and to step over the rock, the many rocks of offense that come into our lives. I don't know. Perfect example is the woman who had the demonized daughter. You know, and Jesus said some things to her that in our culture right now, oh my word. Oh my word. You know, he wouldn't have gotten away with that, even though he was God, right? But he was like, she's calling after him in desperation. She's not of Israel, right? I think she's a Samaritan. Some other Gentile, and she is calling after Jesus. Help me, my daughter. Help my daughter, son of David. I'm going to use any name I know. Great teacher, son of David. You who has the power, I need your help right now. I don't know anything else, but I just need whatever it is that you have to help this situation in my life. I don't even care that I'm not of Israel. I don't even care if you're their God. I'm calling for you to help me right now. And Jesus was like, oh, but this is, you know, in today's perception, oh, you little, you know, whatever. Okay, I don't even want to say the words because it's so hot right now. But, you know, no, I'm not going to give to the dogs what's meant for the children. You know, he's calling her a dog. It was the vernacular back then. They were referred to as dogs because they weren't part of the lineage and the promises and the chosen people. And Jesus was like, no. You know, and then basically said, I mean, it appeared that he said no to her. And he kept walking, and she called after him. And something she said caught his attention. And it was her desperation. It was like, all I know is that you have what I need. I am making you the Most High thing. You're the only thing that can help me with my daughter. And Jesus fixed the situation. He cast that demon out, and that girl was made whole. Right? And sometimes that's what it feels like when we're offended about a circumstance that we can't logic out in our brain, but this person, well, it must have just been God's will. No, I'm not even going to try to deal with that. I love what Pastor Ed always says. I mean, it has just been like a life preserver over and over and over again. You don't have to reconcile, you know, what the enemy brings to you. You don't have to reconcile his confusion. You don't have to bring closure to that at all. I'm just going to leave that over there, and I'm going to go and make the Most High my refuge. You know, and we get to do that. We get to do that. We don't have to fix that situation. We don't even have to argue with it or debate it or anything. I'm going to stay in faith because I'm desperate. All I know is that I need you to help me in this situation, and I put my trust in you, Most High. You are the Most High God,
There is nothing higher or better or that can heal and deliver me in this situation or my friends or my family. You are my God, and I put my trust in you. When we've done that, we've made the Most High our dwelling place and our portion. Then we can have confidence in what his promises are, because I know I trust him. He's not a cold mountain. He's a warm father that I run to when I need help. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So that's all I got. So, you guys are all so sweet with your smiling faces. Thanks. So let's just lift our hands and let's just declare this with our hearts. You can repeat after me. Dear Most High, we make you our dwelling place. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge. You are my very present help in my time of need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just pray that this truth would be sealed in our hearts for the rest of our days. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And Lord, I thank you that you are able to keep us from falling. We make you our place of refuge. And you give us everything that we need that pertains to life and to godliness. We abandon doubt. We abandon the rocks of offense. We turn our face to you, Most High God. Remember, help us remember who you are, what you are, what you promised, what you will do, because we have that intimacy with you. In Jesus' name, amen.